Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Hello,
what's going on?
Great. How you doing, brother?
I'm fine. How you feel?
I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Jerry Thomas, International Black Summit. We got a great show for you. My other host named Brother Glenn Greenwich from Queens, New York. Say hi to everybody, my brother.
What's up?
All right. That's very good. Also, our talk show team is our sister Jill from Atlanta.
Hello.
What's going on, Jill? How you feel? And also we have Henrietta Bird from Chi-Town. And it's occasion, we call her Miss International because she's...
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Okay. Now, we got a dynamite show tonight. We're going to talk about Obama's job bill. And also, we're going to talk about unemployment in America. And also, we're going to dig in a little deeper about unemployment in our community. So to get this going... my brother Glenn, I want you to read the declaration so we can get this going.
I sure will. Just a second, Brother Jerry, and I will do that for you. I want to thank y'all out there in Radio Land. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and they come to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Let me go ahead and read the declaration. As Brother Jerry requested, and get this party moving. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please.
Thank you, my brother. It's always a blessing to hear the declaration. And before I'm going to do the principles, there's any announcements that we need to do for the summit. Anything happen in summit lane?
All right, thank you, Jerry. Just want everyone to know that October 22nd is the China tour. And you can find out more about the tour. It's from October 22nd until October 31st. And you can find out more on our website at blacksummit.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. If you go to International Black Summit, go ahead and read all about us and hit like so you can like the fan page. And just want to remind everyone in regards to the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. Thank you. Back to you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you. Again, Again, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a great show tonight, and we're going to talk about the job bill. And you know what I found out, Glenn? That Obama had listed 13 things on the job bill that,
okay.
that a lot of Democrats and Republicans is not working with them. And before I get to that, I got to read a principle. Every Sunday, we always read a principle that brings culture to the show and our people and distinctions of the International Black Summit. And we will talk more about that a little later. And one principle that I want to bring out is Amani, means faith. To believe with all our hearts, our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. What I love about this, though, because it goes to show that us, especially us as African-Americans, we all, wherever we struggle, we always be together. We never had nothing easy ever since we came in the United States, a part of the world. And that really hits home that what Obama's really is struggling, that he's going around the country to push this job bill. And to go on to show now, I'm gonna read some and then I'm get a comment and then I'm just gonna read quickly the 13 things that he have in the job bill. But this cycle, when the President Obama pivot jobs a few months back from what the White House isn't saying. He said he was going to take his plan to rebuild the U.S. economy directly to American people. It's a good thing, too, because Congress isn't interesting. And again, I rephrase this again, Republicans and some Democrats. Obama, $447 billion American Jobs Act of 2011 was never going to see the light of day in the Republican-controlled House. The Senate gave it the thumbs down this week, voting 50-49 to block the bill, well shy of the 60 votes needed to end the filibuster. Even some of the Democrats who vote to bring the bill to the floor said they will vote no on the bill itself. But it doesn't mean that it's dead. Obama has vowed to continue pushing his job package with the temporary cuts and hiring incentives for small businesses, extended unemployment benefits, and money for public work projects. And I will talk more about that when I read the job bill. The Senate now plans to take up selective provisions of the bill. And before that, I'm going to go more. I want to go on comment. How do you feel what the Congress is doing?
Well, for me, I don't know, the Congress is not working for the people of this country. I mean, that's one thing that's real clear to me. I'm not sure who they're working for, but every time I look around, they're working for somebody other than me because, you know, it doesn't seem like my community is getting the benefits, the job bills, all of that stuff. I mean, you know, the unemployment rate in our community is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And not much is being done about it. You know, I mean, it's really pretty pitiful. You know, when you look at it, the unemployment rate is 16.7
mm-hmm.
for African Americans. And that translates to 1.4 million African Americans out of work for more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got to say about it.
And yeah, and go more to the point, we're going to really talk about the African-American, the unemployment of America and the African-American, because, guys, this is, I can't wait to get to it. But there's some more stuff that I want to touch on. It's the unemployment rate of the United States is 9.0% in September this year. From 1948 to 2010, the United States unemployment rate averaged 5.70%, reaching a historical of 10.80% in November of 1982, and a record low, 2.50% in May of 1953. The labor force is defined as the number of people employed plus the number of unemployment for seeking work. The non-labor force included those who are not looking for work, those who are institutionalized, and those who are serving in the military. And now, I'm just going to go into the job bill, read it all quickly, and then after that, my brother, we're going to open up the lines, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll read real fast, so... Because, you know, Glenn, he got some goodies for us, too, on the show. So, but this is the job bill. Number one, this is the job bill. The plans have ideas that we have been supported by both Republicans and Democrats in the polls that should not be controversial and easy to pass. Number one, everything in the bill is paid for. Number two, cut business payroll in half to 3.1%. A $65 billion pay tax holiday on a first $5 million in payroll in 2011, which covers about 98% of small business. In addition, a complete payroll tax if to hire new worker or they raise worker wages by up to $50 million above the prior year. Number three, employment payroll tax holiday for 160 million workers. That would be half of the tax rate to 3.1% in 2012, which is 1 year extension worth $175 billion, providing of 1,500 tax cuts to the typical American family. Number four, a tax credit of $4,000 to employers for hiring long-term unemployment workers. Number five, a plan that will extend, no, not a tax percent tax break for companies who invested in plants and equipment, allowing them to take immediate tax deduction. Number six, reform regulation to help facilitate access to capital for entrepreneurs and small businesses. Number seven, increase hiring tax credits for the veterans from $5,600 to $9,600 to encourage the hiring of unemployment veterans. Number eight, ensure that up to 28,000 teachers are not laid off while keeping cops and firefighters on the job. Number nine, modernize and renovate at least 35,000 public schools across the country. Number 10, invest in infrastructure and infrastructure banks to modernize roads, rails, airports, and waterways while putting hundreds and thousands of workers back on the job. Number 11, a $49 billion one-year extension of unemployment benefits to prevent millions of Americans to look for work from losing their benefits. And number 12, a plan to allow Americans to refinance their mortgage at today's nearly 4% interest rate, which can put more than $2,000 a year in a family's pocket. Now, all everything that I just read for the job bill, again, that Republicans and Democrats has opposed. And to me, we have to really, really look at very carefully, especially us as African Americans. And Glenn, he would talk about the labor union that deals with us as Africans later on. But I really want to open up the lines, my brother. Or if there's anybody of the host team that have a comment, feel free. If anybody also want to make a comment, press 1, and we would gladly get to you. Okay, let's open up the lines. If there's anybody on the host team want to make a comment, feel free.
Yeah, just before you do that, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. For more information about our events, our annual event, and prerequisite courses and summit shares, please visit our website, www.blacksummit.org, for any further information. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, there you go. Okay, if there's anybody want to make a comment about the job bill, what I just read, because they have some juicy stuff. They have a lot of stuff. They have a lot of things in here that automatically is going to help move America very quickly. And I really want to get you, I really want to hear your input on it. So, again, press 1 that you want to talk. And you just feel free to talk.
Well, I'm going to jump in. And Henrietta, your line is open, so you can jump in when you need to as well. And so the thing I want to say about the job bill is it's really intentional about ramping up the skill set of the people who are unemployed. And so there's some money being thrown at it. I don't think that there's enough, is my conversation. I think that there needs to be more directed at the creation of jobs and the creation of the small businesses that are really the key factor in supporting the creation of jobs. And I think that one of the things that is being is a big omission is that we don't have shovel-ready jobs that could that are around the infrastructure. So jobs that would be repairing roads and bridges and dams that around the country that are in disrepair that need to be worked on. It doesn't address those kinds of types of situations, and not throwing the kind of money around at it that. Because of the restrictions imposed by the Republican Party. So that's what I want to say about that for now. Back to you, Jerry.
Okay, thanks a lot. Does anybody else want to make a comment about the job bill? Well, I'm going to make comments while people is getting ready to make a comment. I know for me is this, that this job needs to be pushed, and I understand, and you're right, because I feel the same way, that it needs to be more that needs to be done. But the thing about that, what troubles me about this, that there is no support. And why we see certain things going on Wall Street and things going on, you know, you figure they should see what's going on, that the people is getting tired. You know, the people, they want a fair share. Why are we paying all these taxes, and why the rich people, they just being all corrupt and taking everything and squeeze us out? And you know, the Main Street is getting tired. So my thing is that, you know, as long as Obama keep on pushing this bill and going around the country and enforce the Congress to make certain decisions, you know, he's on a good track, because he got the people on his side now. And that's what he definitely needs. So that's, you know, that's all I'm going to say about that. If there's anybody else that want to talk about the job bill,
yeah, I have a hand up. 347-841. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Jerry.
Good evening,
Glenn. This is Ray.
Good evening.
You know, what I have to say about it is that President Obama is doing the best that he can. He doesn't have the support that he should have. But my personal feeling about the job bill is what type of jobs are being provided, what type of salary. I mean, are these jobs that are going to just pay like the minimum salary where you can barely just get by? You know, because if that's the case, then what good is a job bill being passed if we're barely able to survive or barely able to get a room or anything like that? So I'm just putting it on a very personal level right now. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to offend anyone, but the thing is that what Obama is doing is a great thing, you know, but the logistics of it is what type of salary will you be getting paid once the job bill is passed? You're going to be paid the minimum salary, but you cannot even pay afford medical bills, you can't even afford a room for rent. So where does that leave us? Are we cutting off our noses to spite our face? If this job bill is passed, if it's passed, it has to be where it's going to encompass the needs and of us as individuals and providing for our families to survive. And right now, if this bill is passed and it's going on like $8 an hour or $9, $10 an hour, how can we survive and feed our families on that? You understand? So it's the logistics and the intro work and what's going into this bill that needs to be passed. But it also has to be considered is what the salary, you know, can we survive on that as a nation, as a people, as individuals, providing for not only ourselves, but for our families, our loved ones. We can't barely provide for ourselves, living on $8 or $10 an hour. Then, come on, what good is it if the bill is passed and this is all we get? You know,
well,
that's my view of it. So.
Okay. Go ahead, Brock. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that one of the problems with the bill is that it doesn't address and doesn't go deep enough. And especially when you look at the communities that are impacted, you look at the young people. You know, African American youth unemployment is about 30%. You know, I don't think that's really going to impact it, to be honest with you. So, I mean, you know, where they're left holding the bag because they're not going to be impacted. This bill is not going to shift that number down substantially enough, at least for my take. And, you know, when you begin to look at some of the other communities that are impacted, the job bill is kind of like a Band-Aid for a major cancer. Back to you, Jerry.
Yeah, and then go more to that point before we go back on the line again before, because Glenn, I'm going to ask you after I make this comment to do your piece about it, and I want to add on because, I find on the computer there is an alarming rate of unemployment of the black men and our black teens, and even the black woman. And it's very, very alarming. When I was really looking at this, and it really takes me back because there's a good question that, you know, our sister Renee asked, where the impact is going to be. And I really believe that the only way that we're going to enforce this, that us as a community, we had to invest in our own people. We had to understand to learn to work together. We had to understand to trust each other. And that's one of the few reasons that that's lost. We have to learn to invest in our own education. We have to learn to invest of our own food that is healthy. We have to invest. We have to invest in our own doctors, our own teachers, and we have to do. That's one of the few reasons that we're going to see some benefits of this bill. Now I'm gonna turn to you, my brother Glenn. He got some information that is very, very vital for the show. So Glenn, I'm gonna turn this over to you now.
Okay. So I just want to get started and say that when we look at the whole unemployment conversation and the rates from 1948 to present, the only time that we've been in the over 9% unemployment as a country has been in 82 and 83.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just want to point to the criticality of where we've come, and that was that actually hit 10.8 in 1982. Now,
mm-hmm.
in comparison, In October 2009, we hit 10.1. So, you know, that gives you an idea of what the, you know, the deep implications of what the unemployment has been doing to us. And as you said earlier, it's been about 5.7 over that period of time. One of the things that we're left with is, well, where are we in the recovery process? And, you know, the conversation is that we're not. Yes, the unemployment has dipped down. And are those true numbers or not? And then, of course, when you look at it, you say, well, we're only, you know, we're 9 point something as opposed to 10.1 being the very worst that we've been in a while. And we're still well above where we've been since 08, we spiked up. And so 2000, we were about just 4%. We spiked up to 6% in 2003 to 2004. Then we dipped back down to about 4.5% in 2007. And then since 2008, we've been riding that wave straight up to 10.1. So, I mean, it's been very critical, and then when you look at our people specifically, and you look at what's been impacted, as I said, 1.4 million African American and their families. You look at the, you know, who's been, you know, and that number of people who've been working out of work for more than 6 months. Then you look at the commitment to rebuilding and revitalizing communities across the country with investment dollars. We haven't seen it. The infrastructure, including the schools and construction initiatives, and significant commitment to any kind of urban school districts and any kind of investment in revitalizing it, hasn't happened. Matter of fact, we've been devastated by foreclosures. And initiation to expand any infrastructure employment opportunities has not existed. You know, so we're disadvantaged. We're more disadvantaged. When I look around in the school boards and the districts, they're shutting down more schools in our communities. They're shutting down hospitals in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
They're shutting down any facilities that would help us to break out of this, and we're being undermined from an educational standpoint. So I mean, it's very critical, and you spoke to it earlier, is that we begin to take charge and do what we can within our own communities, and that may mean starting businesses, initiating jobs, and so forth. So, I mean, all of those things are going to be the key pieces that we want to, you know, be conscious of. So I'm going to give it back to you for now and see where other folks are in the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Let's open up the lines, and then let's get some feedback here before we talk about. Let's hold the calls up one second. I want to ask you a question, my brother Quinn. Can you tell us about the labor practice of African Americans? Because you know there is a practice that happened for years that some infrastructure jobs. It's not really coming, especially it being in our community. You know, sometimes we don't get it, and sometimes they call some other people ethnic group that comes and work in our community. And I really want you to break that down for us, please.
Well, if you look at the whole conversation of affirmative action, and I was reading the article as part of this research. And when you look at what they're saying about it and what's really being demonstrated, it's where they call it the Robin Hood theory.
Yeah.
But the problem with it is that it's not working. That it's not, it's really hasn't significantly changed any of the real numbers. So the intention was, of course, to be an equalizer. But when you look at the amount of money that's being spent to put things in place, and the numbers of people who are impacted by it are still subpar, then it seems almost pointless that those programs, you're spending all that money to maintain and administer the programs, and they're not getting the impact that they should be. So is it useless? Well, you know, it's hard to say, but it's not as effective as it should be, and it's certainly not as effective as the intention was for it initially. So, so I'll leave it at that for now. Back to you, Jerry.
Well, can I say something?
Go right ahead.
Well, basically, probably it's not effective because it's greed. You know, wherever the money are supposed to be directed to, there's somebody skimming off the top and getting their action on, and it's not going to where it's supposed to be. You know, and that's not being addressed. It's not, I mean, the letters are not being stripped away. Nobody's being called or who's ever responsible for the treasury part of the program is not being called out on the carpet as to get down to the nitty-gritty and find out what's going on. We have this type of revenue going into this project. Why isn't this happening? Where are the funds going? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't know. Find out. So we turn a blind eye. You know what I'm saying? Because no one wants to point the finger or no one wants to get into any altercation or confrontation about, well, somebody's taking something that they're not supposed to be taking because these are the funds that were donated. These are the money that are coming in. Where is it going? Why haven't we seen more? Well, I don't know. I don't know. So nobody knows nothing? So we're going to turn a blind eye because we don't want to offend our brother or sister. Somebody's skimming. Let's get down to it. And if you're doing this, there has to be a reason. You have to be desperate. But we can work through this. But listen, is this what we really want as a nation? It starts with us. You know, and maybe I might be hard and cold. I don't care. But this is how I feel. I am not one to excuse my French, pussyfoot around about somebody's lives or livelihood or the impact or positiveness that I'm supposed to make, you know, or that I feel in my soul. I feel, you know, if I'm going to donate to a project and it's not happening and I'm given a calendar and a year, and, you know, and 6 months, like, this is going to happen based on this and this and this, and I don't see it. I want some answers that I'm going to take everybody apart until I get it. And I think more of us have to be like that, because this is how our Caucasian brothers and sisters are. You know, they'll cut each other's throats to get to the nitty-gritty and to keep the stuff under wraps. So and they'll succeed. Do you think there's something that we can learn from them? What?
Okay. I hear it. Very good, very good. You know, and go more on the point. And before we go get to the call, I want to make one more point. Me and Glenn was one time, we was doing a show, and we left from the library. We was walking down, and it was this brother. He had everything. He was looking for a job, you know, doing construction. I forgot what it was. And he said, I've been went to this place for weeks and weeks. And he said, now I see this Indian, in all due respect. You know, I'm all about equality for everybody. I am. But it's in our neighborhood. And then what happened is there's people not don't look like us is working at these jobs. And you find this brother that he wants to work. So, but what's so beautiful about it, Glenn gave some information so he can go by and find another job. But it goes to show you right in front of my face, there's a practice, and we're not working hard enough. We do not support each other enough for these projects. We don't fight enough. And I agree on you, on my sister Renee. You know, we have to get back to this no nonsense attitude and be smart and strategically about it. And so let's go to these calls and whatever, you know, press one if you want to make a comment.
Very, very good. Let me just put an announcement. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. If you'd like to call in, our number is 646-716-9827. We're also in the chat room, so let us know if you've got some ideas or some comments that you want to speak to. We're talking about the job, the American Job Act, and one of the things that we haven't talked about yet, Jerry, I wanted to put in, was the impact of this bill to women.
Oh, yes.
So the Job Act is preventing up to 280,000 teacher layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look, so we were talking about keeping teachers in the classroom. If the layoff were to occur, there would disproportionately impact women who make up 78% of the pre-K to 12, grade 12 teachers. So we're talking about 78% of the teachers impacted by this layoff would be women.
Yes.
So you begin to see the impact that this job bill is in protecting women, in protecting African Americans. I can go in and look at the Hispanic family, the impact of the Hispanic families. You're talking about tax cuts to benefit 250,000 Hispanic-owned small businesses. So the president is proposing tax cuts that will go to these small businesses. The extension of unemployment insurance will benefit 1.1 million Hispanics and their families while providing targeted support for long-term unemployment. We keep looking at all of these different areas. Youth in the economy, we talked a little bit about the black youth, but youth in general, ages from 16 to 24, we're talking about 17.7% unemployment. So, the African-American youth are 30, but youth in general, you're talking about 17.7, and we'd be amiss if we didn't talk about Occupy Wall Street, because that's what a lot of these young people are down there protesting against. You know, we can't find a job. And the critics of Occupy, and, oh, by the way, it's not just a national thing. I saw something in Japan. I think it's Tokyo, Occupy Tokyo, where they were protesting over in Tokyo as well about what's going on in being sympathetic. But the thing, the critics of the Occupy Wall Street talk about, well, why can't these people get jobs and why are they complaining? But, you know, there are no jobs to be gotten. And this bill is an attempt to provide some of those kind of capabilities. So, you know, it's an interesting mix that we're in politically and economically. So, anyway, back to you, Jerry.
Yeah, well, yeah, before we get to the unemployment piece, I want to open up the lines so we can hear you, people. We want to hear you. We want to understand how you're feeling, because we all suffering, and we have the information that we have, and we got to be more educated about it and more forceful so we could all build for our families and our community. So press number one if you want to speak. So let's open up the lines.
I'd like to hear from Jill or Henrietta as well.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Jill. I just talk about the snowball effect, especially when we're looking at how many teachers would be laid off, the number of teachers or percentage. I think Glenn mentioned.
Let me go back to that. Yeah, let me go back to that for me.
Snowball effect, Glenn, is that we're looking at then increasing the classroom size of the students. We're looking at the needs of the students not being met on an individualized basis. So then we, of course, if there are less students in the schools, higher number of kids in the classroom, we're looking at potentially higher dropout rates, because then there's not the attention given and kids are just a number. So
it's 280,000 teacher layoffs.
Oh my gosh.
And that's 78% of pre-K to grade 12 teachers, which of course are mostly women.
Right. And I mean, just think of the aftermath if that should occur when it comes to our kids from K through 12. It's just mind boggling. I just wanted to make that comment. Back to you, Jerry.
This
is Henrietta. Yeah, this is him. And I'm just trying to see how to get started here with you mentioned something that you mentioned 1981 and 1982, that the job rate was the unemployment rate rather was 10% or something, the highest I guess it has ever been. And when I thought about that, I thought about this somewhere in 82 or 83, somewhere, and even 81, I made more money than I had ever made in my life that year. Okay? And I had no clue. And I wasn't making a lot of money. It's just I made more money that year than I had ever made. So, and I can remember thinking, this is not a lot of money. But I remember that I had a plan to be in a particular profession that I knew paid a lot of money. And so that's what I did. I went to school and I got in that field, so that I knew eventually, and I got in a field that had survived the Depression. It was one of the only only profession that survived the Depression. So I literally chose that field because of the money. It wasn't that I had any love for it or passion for it. It was because it paid a lot of money regardless to whether people were working or not. It paid money. And so now, I wasn't conscious of it at the time, but I'm just listening to see what's the solution here to all of these facts and all of these figures. See, there's this thing that the universe has that's called supply and demand. If there's no demand for anything, there's no supply. There has to be a demand for something in order for the universe, not Washington, D.C., but for the universe to provide what is needed. So if the teachers are listening and they know that these cuts are coming, then the thing to do is to get a new plan, to get a new position, not to sit and complain about it, but to get a new idea that will put, that will take the education that they have and utilize them in a different, manner. See, when, you know, we talk about God being good all the time, but when stuff like this happens, then where does all that go? If we believe God is good, then God is good when unemployment rate goes up to 30%. God is still good and still there's a way for us to survive, and not just with the crumbs off the table, but in a major way, if we utilize what God has given us. But if we're complaining about it and not doing anything about it, then that's what we'll get. We'll get the crumbs off the table. But if we're listening and we say, okay, unemployment is rising, and in the field that I'm in, they're doing cuts, major cuts, then I need to start looking at a different field, a different arena. Teaching isn't the only arena for a teacher. Now, once you become a teacher, the world opens up to you. And you can create your own school, like charter schools in the city of Chicago, major. You can in less than 2 years, open a charter school. So if you are a teacher and you have an idea, which most teachers do, of a better school system, all you have to do is put it in writing and start a charter school. And you are in charge of it. So, like, when things like this happen, it's not for us to sit back and complain about it. It's to get busy and do something about it. Everybody's not affected by the job rate. That's why it's not a big deal to Congress, because there's so many people who are not affected by it because they have their own businesses. They have their own businesses, or their people, their relatives, their friends are in careers that will always pay money. I heard Ray on the phone earlier from New York, and one of the things that I got from a minister in New York, he said the best thing you can do for poor people is not be one of them. Now, that might seem harsh, but to me what I heard was get in a field and get yourself educated and get yourself, myself, let me speak for myself, get myself educated, get in a field that will pay, like computers. You know, there's in the computer field worried about jobs. There's nobody, not a whole lot of people, not a lot of people in social work who are concerned about jobs. I mean, there's certain fields that I went online last night, and there's certain fields that have hundreds of jobs available. But are we looking, are we getting in those fields? You know, what are we doing about it?
And what you're pointing to is self-generation. We have a distinction in the International Black Summit that's called self-generation. And what you're talking about is actually looking to see what's available and generating what needs to happen. Because, again, one of the small, one of the job acts is to cut payroll taxes for women-owned small businesses. So it should be able to affect over 900,000 women-owned small businesses. So it's an opportunity for us as a community to begin to look at the kinds of things that are going to self-generate income for ourselves and for our community. You know, one of the things that you talked about was the teachers, and absolutely charter schools is one of them. One of the things that I see around it is also being able to go out and provide training and development for leadership for these young people, and give them training how to start their own jobs, their own companies. You know, not waiting to be employed by something else, because they've got ideas. You know, as simple as helping businesses get on Facebook. You know, because there's a lot of people out there, small businesses, that don't have the savvy, and they can do something as simple as that, which is something they're doing anyway. So, I mean, there are opportunities out there, and it's about self-generating. Back to you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry, back to you.
Yeah, thank you. And then, what we can help on it, I'm going to read this quick, that unemployment in our community is 16.7. Black teens, 41%. Black males, unemployment is shocking high, 16.7 to 17.3. This compares to a rate increase of 8.8% to 8.9% for white males. In other words, black male, 94% higher than the rate for white men. Unfortunately, this has become the norm for the African-American male. The black woman. Sisters, pay attention to this. It's very important. It's also watching their unemployment rate is rise from 12.9% to 13.2%, while white women saw no increase at all.
Why is that? But what is the reason? What is the reason for those statistics? You know, I'm an African-American woman. And when I went online last night, I went and I found a particular company that I'm interested in. And the thoughts that were in my mind were very interesting. My thing is, we have to change our consciousness. We have to change the way we think about things. And I know that from my experience, just looking at those jobs last night. You know, we have to get to the point where we understand we are qualified for certain things based on our experience, not just education. When it says such and such degree required, that's not what it doesn't have to mean that. If you come in and apply for a job and you've got 30 years experience in something else, then they will consider you because somewhere in that job you've done what it is they're asking for. So we can't be limited, we can't allow ourselves to be limited by the statistics. So what? So African Americans they're more unemployed than any other nationality. We're also probably the most creative, the most genuine people that you will ever meet. And if you go in knowing that you have something to offer, not going in, I'm not as educated as I need to be, or I don't have the whatever, but going knowing that you have something to offer, knowing your self-worth, you will get the job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not finished yet, but I just want to make this point that we could just dig in where the unemployment at, and lift these people so they could build small business. But let me finish this point. At this point, white females have the lowest unemployment rate from any demographic group. Black women have unemployment rate is roughly 85%, is higher than white females. And my point, again, that if we look at these numbers, this number is telling the truth. But at the same time, we could dig in this and knock down these percentages down because these are qualified people. There's no ifs and buts about that. These are qualified people. And it goes right back to the point that I made at the beginning of the show. We got to learn to invest out of our own people. And especially we got to learn to open up more trades and more programs so people can have options. And that is very, very important. We got to develop this. More options for our people, more options for our teens. So when they see that our community grow, when they see they have more options, they feel good about themselves. They feel good about their family. We spread more small businesses in our community. We be major players when we deal with political and other sectors of life.
We got about 30 seconds, Jerry.
Okay. Last comment. Hold on. Before that, the Oxygen Room number after the show is 218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834-pound.
Very good.
So we get
all
ready
right.
to wrap.
Wrap it up. Take us home, brother.
Okay. Tonight, this is a great show. Where we really, let's be educated. Let's act on this. And let's stop being a victim. And again, we have our Oxygen Room number. I say it again, 218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834-pound. I want to thank Harry Evans, Jill, Glenn, our talk show team, and whoever who missed the show, please join the Oxygen Room. And remember, the destiny is yours. God bless you. Good night.
Good night, brother. Peace.
Peace.